fighting. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
And Jesus is a healing Jesus.
Right.
And the Word tells us He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. Right? So, just tell somebody, Jesus is alive. That was the word that went out with the early disciples, that Jesus is alive. He is risen. Praise God. He is risen indeed. So praise God. We've got something to be excited about, haven't we? I know we're coming up to this time where we are about to celebrate in the calendar the birth of our Lord Jesus. It's fantastic. But even better than that is when we move a little bit further on and we get to Easter. When they crucified him, and yet on the third day he rose again. So we have great things to celebrate. We celebrate his birthday in a few days' time. We celebrate our opportunity for new life in a few days' time, don't we? You know, if it wasn't for his birth, there couldn't be a death. And so we can celebrate. And the world's celebrating from all the wrong angles. But let's us make sure that we celebrate it, and we celebrate it well. Bless other people, give to people, that put a portion, encourage them, you know, give to the poor. Share your homes with people. Let people be blessed by what God has given you. Not just financially, but what God has given you in your heart and in your spirit. Amen? Praise God. Now, you know, we've been talking about praise and worship for the last, I have, on and off. I don't know what you've been talking about, but I have. You've been listening, I've been talking. Sometimes you talk back to me. And we've been talking about praise and worship to see the glory of God. We've been talking about how we can move into that area of beginning to see the glory of God. And that praise is not the end of things, but it is the beginning. And as we begin to praise God, we will begin to see a manifestation of the power and the majesty and the enormity of God in our lives and in the lives of other people that we come into contact with. God wants to use you to touch other people's lives. God wants to use you as a life changer. Did I hear a yes? Good. I like people that agree. The Bible says where two or three are agreed, then Jesus is in the midst of it all. I want Jesus to be in the midst of all that we say and all that we do. I want Jesus to be in our praise and in our worship. I want Jesus and the name of Jesus to be magnified above all things. It's not about me, it's not about you, but it's all about Jesus. And when he's placed in the forefront of all things, then Satan will always have to bow the knee. He is defeated, he shall be defeated, and he is going to be defeated. Right? That's past tense, that's present, and that's future. In other words, he's wiped out. He has no authority. And he's the author of sickness and disease, and God says that, you know, Jesus came to take us and to minister healing to us. He took all our sicknesses and all our diseases. And so again, Satan's wiped out on that. And so that's why we stand, and that's why we pray for people. That's why we encourage people to believe God, because our God is a healing God. We've got people here who can stand up and testify to the power of God's healing work in their lives. And I thank God for that. I thank God that he uses people to bring life and not death. Praise God. We're a life-giving people. That's what we are. You're a life-giver. You know, we hear so much on the news about people that take lives, don't we? The knife culture that we have. How many times do you hear about people who are giving life? Hey, we don't, do we? Praise God. But there are more of us out there giving life than there are taking life. Think about that. Never gets on the news though, does it? No. It's not bad news, is it? It's not hype. But yet it's more exciting to give than it is to receive. It's more exciting to give than it is to take. And so Jesus has given to us the ability to give life, to give opportunity to people. And so we need to take that. And we need to realize that we, as we praise God, God will give you and I greater abilities. Isn't that wonderful? Every one of you has an ability. Is that right? Come on. So every one of you has an ability. Well, do you know something? When you give that ability to God, God gives back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over an abundance on that ability. Bill had an ability when he was a child to begin to learn to play the keyboard. He got bored, fed up, and threw it away. When he came to Jesus just a few years back, God began to deal with him. Make him pick it all up again and start again and get those rusty old joints working. No matter what age you are. It does not matter what age you are. Just do it. Is what God is saying. Just do it. Did you hear me? Look at the person next to you and say, just do it. There is no argument on these things. God says, just do it. Just praise me. Just give thanks. And everything's going to be fine. This is what we've got to do. Just do it. I know I've counseled people over many years. Ellen's one of them. And I used to say, just do it. I go around a mountain again. And you'd stand there waiting. You'd have to wait some time. And they'd come back round again. And you say, look. And you go over it all again. You say, yeah, just do it. And one day, the just do it would break through. And guess what? They'd just do it. Things began to change. Is that not true? When we just do it. We're afraid, aren't we, at times? We're afraid of ourselves. We're afraid of making mistakes. We're afraid of what other people think of us. That's why we don't do it. We haven't started the message, by the way. I don't know. I'm not sure at all. I just do it. I spend time preparing to prepare a word to bring to you people, and then God will change it and say, just do it. Yeah, but Lord, I'm not prepared this. No, but God says, I have. You just do it. You be my mouthpiece. And this is what God is saying to every one of us. Just do it. Just begin to praise Him. Just begin to worship Him. Just begin to magnify His name. And guess what? Fear starts to run. When you start to praise God, when you start to give thanks to God, when you start focusing on God, God will drive that fear away. Because as you move into God, the Bible says that God is love. Right? Would you all agree? Jesus, the word says, it's an easy verse of scripture. God is love. Just say that to yourself. God is love. And again, God is love. Okay? You've got that, right? There is another verse of scripture that you can add to that. And it says, perfect love casts out all fear. Whoa. Well, if God is love, and if I'm afraid, if I let God into my life and into my circumstances and into my situation, guess what? Fear is going out another door. Fear is going to be pushed out of my life. The fear of the future, there isn't such a thing to a believer who loves Jesus. There's no fear in God. There's not a fear of today. There's a faith for today and a faith for the future because of God's love that comes into our lives. And then that, you know, it's fear that stops us so often worshipping and praising God. Because we are, fear brings worry. Fear brings anxiety. And then anxiety brings stress levels, and stress brings heart attacks, and heart attacks bring on the grave. I don't like doing funerals. I didn't come into the ministry to bury people. I came into the ministry to give life. That's what I came for, and I hate funerals. I came to give life. I came to minister and to speak about life. And so I come along and I say, yeah, perfect love casts out all fear. Fear, worry, stress and anxiety is driven out by the love of God working in my life and in your life. And when I get fearful, I just begin to focus on the peace of God. Begin to focus on the love of God. And it drives out fear. Because suddenly I let Jesus take charge of my life. Take charge of that area in my life. And He has the victory again and again and again and again. Jesus has never, ever lost a battle. He's never, ever lost a war. He's never, ever lost a skirmish. On the cross, it might have looked like He was beaten. But don't let your eyes deceive you. That's what people were seeing with their eyes. But 3 days later, He rose again, victorious. That's why I'm here today. That's why some of you are here today. Some of you are here today because of Jesus, and if it hadn't been for Jesus, you would have been dead. I know people today here that if it wasn't for the intervention of Jesus Christ in their life, they'd have been 6 foot under. And we preached about that. There's a graveyard across the road there, and there is a graveyard full of people who have never ever fulfilled their potential in life. Same in Rwanda and Burundi and places like that. There are people buried there who never had an opportunity, never fulfilled the potential that God has for them. Well, let me tell you this, folks. Take your chance, take your opportunity and begin to praise and to begin to worship God and begin to thank God. And I'll tell you what, God will make a way where there is no way. That's a word for you, Mary. God will make a way where there is no way. We have to just begin to focus on Jesus. Focus on Him and begin to magnify His name and worship Him. Jesus is bigger than your problems. Jesus is bigger than your sickness. Jesus is bigger than any situation. Jesus today is bigger than the financial state of the nations. How can that be? Read the Bible. Over 2 million people for 40 years and He fed them through a wilderness situation. And the clothes didn't wear out. That's right, Graham. Then they wanted for nothing. And before they left Egypt, they bankrupted and took all the money with them. God will provide for you. Your focus is, come on, I'm just going to have a good time and worship God. I'm just going to live the life of a born-again, spirit-filled Christian who believes that Jesus came to set me free and who is going to spread the word to all that Jesus brings life, not death. So praise is not the end, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of all things. Praise is an instrument of celebration, we said. We celebrate, don't we? People say, oh, I bet you go to church, it must be boring. You must need a crutch. I don't need a crutch. And I'm not boring. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited when you lay hands on the sick and the sick are healed, just like that. I'm excited when I see blind eyes open, when I hear that deaf ears have been unstopped. You see, I believe in a real Jesus. I believe that today The word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. And Jesus, when he walked the earth, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons. He's the same. He's not changed. But the question is, what about you? What about you? Have you got Jesus living in you? Have I got Jesus living in me? Then if I have, then his lifestyle should start to be coming out of us. Start to declare the glory of God. Start to speak. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. Paul says, be an imitator of me as I'm an imitator of Jesus, and Jesus is only doing what God told him to do. So when you imitate Jesus, you're imitating Father God. You're doing the will of God the Father. We also said praise is an instrument of warfare. When you begin to praise God, anything that comes against you is being pushed back. You don't have to fight, you have to praise. Do you know when you praise, you enjoy yourself? When you praise, you get a buzz. And you feel relaxed and you feel re-energized. When you fight, you get hurt, you feel tired, and even when you've won, you may have some wounds from it. But in praise, you just stand in the presence of God and you just lift up holy hands and you begin to worship Him and begin to magnify His name. And in worship and praise comes the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes on the scene, healing, manifestations of miracles can be seen. That's where the church needs to be getting back to. It's not purely about just having a nice, happy, clappy time. It's about a serious business. It is about bringing the kingdom of God on the earth. The kingdom of God, bringing down the kingdom of heaven onto the earth. It tells us in Psalms we're to enter His courts with praise and sing the songs of Zion and begin to worship Him. It also tells us in the Word of God that strength is ordained through perfected praise, and that perfected praise is, you've heard a baby, haven't you? When it first begins to try and speak, what's it say? What a gobbledygook. Yeah, mum, 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 go, 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 you know. And, I mean, I know, I remember. Sorry. I have living examples, you see, that I can use. I remember when Daniel was, he'd been born and he was tottering around and speaking, etc. Luke appeared on the scene. And Luke did not speak. Never a word was uttered from his mouth. He would point, you know. And Daniel knew all the time exactly what meant. Nobody else did, but Daniel did. Is that true, Father? Yes, thank you. And this went on. Zina then, as a good mum does, begins to panic. We get, yeah, well, I mean, he's not speaking. He should be now speaking some words. Is that true? Would he speak? Thank you. I was just going to say he was about 3 years old and he hadn't spoken. And Zena's thinking, something wrong with him, you know. There's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with him. I'm going to have to take him to the doctors. There's something wrong with him. I'm saying, let me tell you this. He will just speak by putting sentences together. He will not speak, Mum, Dad. Not be one, two words. He will be sentences when he begins to speak. Guess what? A few weeks later, and you think, for goodness sake, Luke, shut up. Well, I had 3 years to catch up. And once he got started, he just went on and on and on. And it got to the point that he was nicknamed as being my shadow. Because every time I turned round, he was there. And if I'd say, I'm just going to nip out in the car and get something, as soon as I'd open the driver's door, the other passenger door would open. He's in. He'd get in the car, he'd lock his seatbelt on. I turned the ignition to start the engine, and as I turned the ignition, I turned him on. Sometimes I had not got a clue what he was on about, but he was giving it some. He was making up for a lot of lost time. Am I telling the truth? Yeah? I mean, gosh. I'd drive to somewhere and then we'd stop and he'd come with me, we'd do what we'd have to do, we'd get back in the car and same thing again. Until we got back. What's going on? God uses perfected praise. He will use babes. And don't panic. God is in control. But are you sure? Well, the Word says so. I occasionally may have the odd doubt, but I have to deal with that. I occasionally may have the odd fear. I have to deal with that. We're all human. I'm not saying doubts and fears are wrong, but I'm saying it's how we deal with them. How we deal with them. And we deal with them using the Word of God, and we sing songs of praise. When the enemy comes against us, as the story with Jehoshaphat, they began to sing. Three armies were assailing them, and they began to sing, and they began to worship God. And the enemy was put to flight, and the enemy was destroyed. And your enemy and my enemy, as we worship and we magnify Jesus, will be destroyed. Believe that. Believe that. And you might say, well, I can't sing. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. And if you're happy making a noise, guess what? God's happy too, because he thinks that's wonderful, because he wants to hear you praising him. He's not interested in the sound. He's interested in the heart. He's interested in what's in your heart. That's what it's about. And if it bubbles up enough in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. Is that true? Glory. So you've just got to let it be stirred up and then and just release it. You know, if you take a champagne bottle and shake it long enough, the top will come off. And it will come out with some force. I've told you this, some of you, this one before, we had a friend who made ginger beer many, many, many years ago, and he put it in a squash bottle. One of those screw top squash bottles. We put it in the pantry where we used to live. Must have left it there for 6 months. Forgot all about it. This thing was still working. Yeah, not quite, but anyway, suddenly I remembered. And my sister came over that one evening. We said, oh, we'll go and get some fish and chips. So we went and got the fish and chips, and we'd been out, so we got these fish and chips in, and we're all in the kitchen getting everything ready. I said, I've got some ginger beer. We'll have some of that, won't we? So I went and got it out, and got it on the side of by the sink. And Grace, by the way, had just that day had washed this kitchen from top to bottom. She cleaned the tiles, cleaned the ceiling, done everything. Was sparkling, brand new, nearly. Can't get this top off. So took it. Popped it in the sink, a bit lower down, get a bit of purchase on it. And literally I just went like that, just began to put the pressure on, boom! And like a fire extinguisher, this thing went off. The top hit the ceiling, the ginger beer hit the ceiling, and Ken, Pauline and Grace, who were in the kitchen with me, suddenly disappeared out of one door. I mean, you know, if you'd have screamed fire, you could not have got people out any quicker. Woo! Gone. And I'm left there with this thing down the sink, and finally stopped it, and I rescued about a quarter of this thing, you know. And I look around, it's like, Where is everybody? You know, I'm wet through. It's dripping off the ceiling on me. And they're all stood outside looking at me. Like, you know. The next morning, it stank like a brewery, that place. I was not the flavour of the month, let me tell you on that one. But you know, I hadn't shook that one, but it had been working. And when God starts working on the inside, there will come an explosion of praise and worship unto Him. So, come on, let God work. Start to praise Him and see things happen. Start to praise God and believe God for things to change. Things are not going to stay as they are. If you're living in defeat, if you're living in fear, guess what? God intends to change that. If you're living in sickness, God intends to change that. If you're living in doubt, God intends to change that. God wants to move in your life. Let's just turn to Psalm 8, please, in your Bibles. I can roughly remember where we got to just a few days, well, a week or two ago. Played some of the message just to sort of check where we appeared to, and I thought we're just going to refresh some things and then try and move on. Glory to God. Psalm 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens. From the mouths of infants and nursing babes, thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries to make the enemy and the vengeful cease. Another translation says, out of the mouths of babes and suckling, you have adorned strength because of their enemies. And another translation says that you have adorned perfect praise. God is about praise, and praise will bring strength. Fear brings weakness. Have you noticed if you get fearful about a situation or if you start worrying, you begin to become weaker? When you start to fret, you become weaker. And fear paralyzes. Like a rabbit in headlights. The moment that you get a light on a rabbit, he freezes. Fear strikes. I remember one situation that two hares came round the corner near where you live, in the middle of the road at night time, and they froze in the headlights, and it's too late.
Boom, boom, boom.
Fresh meat. But fear paralyzed them. If they had just took off and run, that would have been fine. And that's what happens. We let the enemy, we let our fears paralyze us, and we stop moving, and God is trying to move us forward. And we're not moving in praise, and we're paralyzed from the things that God wants us to move into. So God has ordained for you and me perfect praise. If we'll praise Him, then we'll find the strength of God moving into our lives. And then we move back into Isaiah 53 and 54. Today, as I was just digging deeper, God wants you and I to draw from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 53. And I remember we were shared about this the other week. Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he has poured out himself to death. Let's just stop there for a moment. Now, we said the other week, this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and God is saying, therefore, I will allot him. Who's he speaking about when he says him? My him is in capital. That means it's Jesus. So the word says here, God is saying, therefore, I will allot Jesus with a portion with the great. And he, who's the he? Jesus. And Jesus will divide the treasure with the strong. Who's the strong? Who? Who? Us. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the strong. And so straight away, God is saying, I'm going to give to my son Jesus an abundance. And Jesus, he's going to share it with his strong people, his church. So guess what? We're on the blessing side. God wants to give us something. God wants to bless us through Jesus. Jesus wants to give to us. The word says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. God is going to move over people to give, to bless us, to minister to us. We're going to draw from the wells of salvation. One thing that I don't think none of us have really latched onto yet, is that we have more available to us in our spirits than we can ever use on earth. Let me say that again. We have more available to us in our spirit than we can ever use on earth. Did you understand that? If you're not, say no, and I'll go over it again till we do, because it's important that we do. You did not understand. That's fine, that's okay. Your first language is not English, and my second language is not French, neither. I'll try and do it again. So basically, what I am trying to say is that God has given to us in our spirit a measure. A gift. A measure. How big's the vessel? It's not about, well, Graham's got a bigger vessel than me. He's got a bigger waistline. Right? It's not about how big your waistline is, but it's about spiritually, God has given to you an abundance, right? He's given to you. And what God has given to you now, you will never use it all up while you live on earth. There is more than enough for today, tomorrow, until we physically die. Or until Jesus comes and calls us. Right? Did you understand now? Good. Great. That's all that. There's no point in me preaching if you don't understand. I might as well sit down and shut up. I know some folks say I wish you would, but that's okay. I've had that said before, and it will be said again and again and again, but that's all right. I'm not done till I'm done. When I'm done, I'm done. Is that right, Joan? So God has given to you more than you will ever be able to use upon this earth. You are not going to run out of the blessings of God. You are not going to run out of what you can give out spiritually. Wow. You know why you won't run out? Because once we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we live forever. Not in this bodily frame, but our spirit and our soul lives on forever. Guess what? It's not over when somebody digs a hole and puts you in the ground. I'm going to live forever. Jesus said to the thief who was dying on the cross, today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus did not say to him, today you're going to die and you're never going to see light again. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. There's a future. There's a destiny that we all have to fulfill. We are saved and we're the sons of God because God is eternal. Our problem is we look through our eyes that do not see eternity. We look through eyes that see weakness and frailty. We need to start to look through the eyes of God, through the eyes of Jesus. Say, guess what? We, through the Spirit of God, are going to shape things around us. And that when we've done shaking things around us, we're going to move on into eternity. And we're going to live forever. And there are things to be done in eternity. Said we shall. The Bible tells us we shall rule and reign with Him for a season. Is that what it says? No. Forever. Throughout all eternity. How long's eternity? I don't know. Forever and ever 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 and ever. And even then, that's not long enough. But we're going to rule. That's where we are. And so we will draw through the wells of salvation. It's through the well of salvation that Jesus said to that lady, said, when she was off, pulling from the well, the natural well, and Jesus said to her, I offer to you living waters that you will never, ever thirst again. Hang on. What do you mean? I'm getting thirsty now. I've already had a drink earlier on. We know if we think with our natural mind, that cannot be. But Jesus is talking about the realm of the supernatural, that God, by the power of His Spirit, He's going to put the spiritual well within us. And that spiritual well that we drink of, and it causes us to never, ever thirst again. Because why? The Spirit of God is in us. The life of God, the heartbeat of God is in us, and it is working through us. And our issues are, we're not letting God do it. We hold back. It's time to let God do what He needs to do. As we started off, just do it. Just do it. Well, what if I make a mistake? God is bigger than any mistake you will ever make. Do you believe that? God is bigger than any mistake you and I can ever make. So, just go and do it. All we need to do is to realize that we live under the mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we live under that mercy and that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we make a mistake, guess what? God forgives us. God helps us to move on. And He puts us back on the right track and moves us forward. So we can praise Him in that. I want to try and get to where Graham was, but I don't know if I'm going to get there. Praise God, but I will. But I'm going to touch on it anyway. I've got to do it. I just have to do it. The thing we must realize most of all on this is that God is our loving Father. He cares for you. And even when you make a mistake, He's still there for you. How many of you have not made a mistake this week? Please raise your hand. No volunteers. Now, if we're truth about it, if the truth really comes out about this, if we were put in charge, if we were God for a day, I know there's been a film made, hasn't there? Not so long ago. If we were God for a day, or was it for a week? I can't remember whatever it was. But if we were God for a day, woe betide any one of you that makes a mistake. You know, put me in charge. Just woe betide. If any one of you makes a mistake. It's true, isn't it? What do you mean? What do you mean? You're nodding. What happens if you were put in charge for a day? And somebody made a mistake. You know, you're driving along.
Somebody cuts you up. Oh, there, we've touched one, haven't we? Straight away. Eh? You're dead. Come on, let's be realistic, isn't it? One time, when Auntie Betty was alive, Grace was taking her to the hospital for something. Grace was in the little Celica that we've got. And this lorry cut Grace up. Well, Grace is busy driving. And as this lorry cut Grace up, so in a bit, Grace passed this lorry. And as Grace went by in the lorry, Auntie Betty looked up at the lorry driver and stuck her fist up and gave him, you know, threat. I mean, Auntie Betty stood this high, didn't she? You know? I mean, she couldn't lift a sack of taters, let alone beat up a lorry driver. But he was like, if she'd have been God for a day, guess what? He'd have been dead. And we've all done it, haven't we? Somebody jumps in front of us in a queue, and you're in a hurry. You just can't wait, can you? Hey? Somebody says something about you that you don't like. They said, what? Ooh, and you could kill them. Hello? None of you have been like that, have you? Oh, no. Well, wonderful people, aren't they? See what I mean, though? But yet God, in His love and mercy, every day we make a mistake. And guess what? Do you know what God says? I love you. I love you. And I forgive you. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Absolutely wonderful. Why? Because He's a loving God. Because He's a God who cares for us. He's a God who's concerned for us. Guess what? He's committed to you. He's committed to you. Isn't that wonderful? Commitment these days, people don't understand what that word means. Commitment? What do you mean? What are you on about? Of course I'm committed. Then when you turn around and want some help from them, they're gone. But where did they go? I don't know. Somebody left the door open and they went out. Commitment hardly exists these days. Yet God says He's committed to you, no matter what happens. Even when you mess up, God is committed to you because He loves you. You don't find too many people like that, do you? You might not even be able to pick five people and put them on one hand and count, well, who's going to forgive me? Who's going to... But do you know something? We need to get to that stage. We need to get to that stage. When somebody messes up, we say, it's okay, I forgive you. It's okay, I love you. We need to get to that stage where it says, it's okay. Good to see you. Yeah. And if we mess up, it's still okay. Yeah, and it's still good to see you, man. Yeah, I love you. And people say, look, don't you know what he's done? Yeah. Have you looked in the mirror? You know this thing of doing this? Pointing fingers? Three pointing back. I remember when you got that, Mary, didn't you? The Bible says, judge not. Judge not, lest you be judged. The Bible tells us to discern. The Bible tells us to restore. Restore. Build people up. Put people back together. They need some beauty treatment after. Go over here. You'll do the finishing touches. Are you, Karen? You see, God has first got to put us back together. And he does that in our praise and our worship. And you know, as we focus on God and we praise and we worship God, the picture turns to a different colour. We don't see the black, the negatives. We begin to see what is good and perfect will of God. And that's where God wants us to be going. That's where God wants us to be moving. Moving forward in those areas. Let's move to Isaiah 54 and verse 11. Oh, before we do that, let's just go back to 53 and verse 12. And remember what I said to you the other week. When, particularly with these chapters here, ignore the chapter, ignore the verses, don't stop reading. Okay? So we go back. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he, Jesus, will divide the wealth with the strong, because he, Jesus, poured out himself to death and was numbered amongst the transgressors, amongst the sinners. And yet Jesus himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressions of many. Now we stop there. We say, oh, it's chapter 54 now. Well, we don't stop there. We keep on going. And interceded for the transgressors. Who's a transgressor? Me? You? We're the ones who sin. We're the ones who made mistakes. We're the ones who get it wrong. So Jesus is interceding for you and for me. And then it moves on and says straight away, it says, shout for joy, O barren one. You who have borne no child, break forth into joyful shouting. And cry aloud, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. So the Bible tells us, God is saying to us, shout for joy. Even in your predicament, even in your situation, I've made a way, so start to shout. There needs to be a shout in the camp. There needs to be a shout of victory. There needs to be a shout of praise, and when you... Listen, when you get mad with somebody and you're putting them out of the house or you're dealing with them on the street, you don't say, listen, I'm telling you that if you come down our street again and cause all this ruckus, I'll deal with you in such a way that you've never... You don't do it like that, do you? You begin to become authority. Say, you! I have told you, and you start to raise your voice, don't you? Begin to make a shout. Begin to declare with an authority who you are before principalities and powers. And so you begin to make a shout and begin to rejoice. And then do you know what starts to happen? We may never get there today again. Because, yeah, you know what begins to happen then? If you look in verse 2, then when that starts to happen, God says to you, enlarge the space of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not. Lengthen your cords, God is saying. So the moment you start to praise God, the moment you begin to worship God, he's saying, you start to do that, he says, make some more room. Get a bigger tent. Make some more space. Why? He says, for you will spread abroad to the right, to the left, and your descendants will possess nations, and they will resettle the desolate cities. God is going to enlarge you. God is going to make you the blessed and be the blessing. That's what God does. And so you need more room when you're blessed. You've got more stuff to work with. And you've got more stuff to give out. You've got more things to minister to other people. So you've got to enlarge your tent. Don't be small-minded, God is saying. Think big. Think bigger. And start to prepare. Start to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually for the things that are going to happen in the future. Begin to prepare. And verse 4 says, here we go. Fear not. for you will not be put to shame. We started with fear. We've been talking about fear. And God is saying, fear not. This is God speaking through the prophet. Fear not. You won't be put to shame. God is not going to see you put to shame. God wants to see you put to blessing. God wants to see you that people look up to you and say, there's just something about you. And people are drawn to you. We have a visitor today. I meant to say hi to you earlier, but hello. My headache's gone, by the way, now, so I'm back on form. Just those times when I just have to focus and press through. Because I will enlarge my tents. And I will press through into victory. And so one has to focus on the issue and deal with it. This lady here, sorry, what's your name? Faye. Faye here met Ivy. Something drew Faye to Ivy. Am I right? In the conversation that I've heard. Well, I know what drew Faye to Ivy. They may not know at the time, but it was Jesus living in Ivy. If you've got Jesus living in you, there is an aura. There is a presence about you. There is a glow. And people are attracted to that. And they say, God, you say, oh, hello. The drawn to you. They can even ask you, what is it? There's something about you that's different. Yeah, there is. I'm touching on it, am I? There you go. There's something about you that's different. Yeah. And do you know what it is? It is Jesus living in me. Jesus living in you. And the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, draws people to you. That's where the church needs to be. And one of the ways to get to it is praise and worship. Because you praise and you worship, you enter in to the presence of God. And the presence of God enters into you. And the two are mixed together. And there is if you read when Moses went in to meet with God, it says when he came out, his face glowed with a glory. Because he met God face to face. And he came out and there was some, and the people said, Moses, cover your face. We can't bear to look at it. And when you and I move in those realms with God, people are drawn to us. I've had people say to me, it was Noreen, weren't it, used to come to me. First time she ever met me, she said, I saw Jesus in you. It's like, who, me? But you see, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. So if he lives in us, we will start to portray Christ. And people start to see the Jesus who lives in us. And when they see the Jesus living in us, they're drawn to the Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. And every answer to every problem today is in Jesus Christ. Even the financial crisis. I mean, you know, the miracle. The little boy brings 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And how many people does Jesus feed that day? 5,000. Plus women and children. It says 5,000 men. So that means there's got to be a couple of kids and a wife dangling on behind. That's 20,000. With 5 loaves, 2 fish. Who needs Sainsbury's, Tesco's, God can do this. He said, yeah, but that was then. Yeah, but I didn't remind you of a scripture where it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, today and forever. So Jesus Christ is the same when he was doing 5 loaves and 2 fishes as he is today. He can still do 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And tomorrow, he can still do 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Are you being radical? Yes, I am. But that's the only way. Radical Christianity. Jesus was a radical. That's why they killed him. He was rocking the boat. But church, we have to stand up and declare who Jesus really is. It's not about being comfortable and sitting in nice soft pews, etc. But it's about declaring who Jesus is and letting the Jesus live in and through you and me. And that when you have a problem, Jesus faces that problem. Jesus brings that problem down. Not you. You just get on your knees and pray and he moves in and deals the death blow to it. That's what we do. That's how we do it. I'm going to quickly move in just to prepare the ground, just to follow on from Graham. Isaiah 55. Verse 11, I was reading this and I'm thinking, whoa, this is fantastic. And then Graham reads Revelation 21. Isaiah 54, verse 11. O afflicted one, storm-tossed, not comforted. Who's he talking about? Have you been afflicted? Have you been tossed about by various storms and situations in life? Have you been in a situation where you've never been comforted on an issue? I'm sure some of us can say, well, most of us will say yes in some area of that. So that means that God, it must be speaking to you and to me. Yeah? You see, this book is a living word. It's not just a written book to read. It's a living word. So God's speaking to you and to me, right? It says, oh, afflicted one. Storm toss. You're in turmoil. Sorry, what did I say? 55, apologising. I'm glad somebody's listening to me, at least one. 54, you can correct me. It's alright. I do get it wrong occasionally. Not quite yet perfect. Working on it. Work in progress. Isaiah chapter 54, for the tape and everything else. Verse 11. O afflicted one, storm-tossed, and not comforted. Behold, God says, behold, I, God, will set your stones in beautiful colours. Wow. What's God up to? He says, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. I love sapphires. Wow. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of crystal and your entire walls of precious stones, and all of your sons will be taught of the Lord. Praise God. Your family is coming to Jesus. But do you know how it's going to happen? It's by you focusing on God and you praising God and you not letting situations and circumstances rule and reign over you. As he says here, you've been tossed about. You have been afflicted. But he says, behold, I'm going to set your stones in beautiful colours. God is going to set you. We are the city of God. The kingdom of God is made up of lively stones, the word says. We are part of the kingdom of God. And God, this is Isaiah speaking, this is even before Jesus was born. And Isaiah is speaking and saying, I am going to, well, God is speaking through him and saying, behold, I will set your stones and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of crystals, your entire walls of precious stones. Your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. Glory to God. Moving on quickly. Verse 16, behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. I have created the destroyer to ruin. You know who the destroyer is? Who's the destroyer? The devil. And the word says here, God has created the destroyer, the devil, to ruin. That's his destiny. That's his destiny. Just fix that into your mind. That's the destiny of the destroyer. And then it goes on to encourage you more also. Verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. So basically God is saying, look, you're going to prosper. Nothing's going to come against you and prosper. You shall prosper. And every tongue that accuses you, it's going to be stopped. Your heritage, you have a future. You have a hope. You have great things lined up for you, God's saying. And their vindication is from me. God is going to vindicate us. You don't have to stand up and argue and with people and reason. God is going to do it. All you're going to do is keep praising Him, keep thanking Him, keep blessing Him, and sharing the word with people. And guess what? God will do all the rest. Praise God. And Graham read in Revelation 21. Next time I preach, I'll get back to my notes. This is the city of God, the New Jerusalem. Verse 18 will start. Chapter 21 and verse 18. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was like pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city were adorned with every kind a precious stone. Foundation stone was jasper. The second, sapphires. The third, cardonyx. The fourth, emerald. And so it goes on about 12 beautiful stones building this wall. That is going to be an absolutely fantastic, awesome sight. The biggest diamond I've seen is probably about that size in Turkey, called the Topkapi Diamond. Rocks on its little display. You don't stop by, or chop your hand off. If you do, you thought of reaching out to smash the glass. And then it's surrounded by diamonds. The biggest emerald I've seen is probably about the size of my thumb. I've preached on this subject before. When God created the Garden of Eden, there were stones, there were jewels in there that reflected the light, and they shone up in the world. Lights going up of different colours, and they were enormous stones, gems as we call them today. See, we think, we put a value on a diamond. We put the value on. It's rare, you see. But when God, who owns everything, who is the creator of everything, can simply turn around and say, I created diamonds. How big do you want one? I'd like one just to sit on, Lord. Oh, that's fine. I'd like an emerald table. Not a problem. You see, our thinking limits God. Our thinking says, oh, you can only get diamonds this big or that big at the most. You can only get emeralds certain size. But God is building a city with emeralds and sapphires and topaz. And he's just building the wall. Just building the wall. Now, the ring that Grace gave me when we got engaged has a small diamond in it. I don't know how long it would take to build a wall with those. Think about it. Come on. I have a vivid imagination. Think about it. I don't know how big your Zena's ring is or my sister's ring is, but you know, you look at it and think, three rocks there. You know, the people call them rocks, don't they? What? Them's chippings. Not being, you know, the chippings to God, them's just bits that fell off. Angels were rolling him into place. Let your mind, let your spirit rise and see the power and the majesty and the richness of God. God is building the city wall with all these stones. He's got 12 gates made of pearl. What an oyster. That must have been. That must have been a real irritation for an oyster. How big's the oyster? This is for you and me to walk through, for the children of God to come through, enter into his gates. The streets are lined with gold. For most of us, we only realized when they put up the first astronauts in space, for most of us, it was only then did we realize that if you made gold thin enough, you could actually see through it. Is that true? The visor on the astronauts is made of pure gold, and they can see through it, and it brings a green tint. There you go. Now you've learned something new today. That might be the only thing you've learned, but you've learned something. And yet, the Word of God that is written 2,000 years ago, nearly 2,000 years before the astronauts were even thought about in our mind, God says that heaven will be paved with gold and you can see through it. I'm just throwing a few thoughts in. Just let it roll. Is that what it says? Is that what it says, Leon? We only discovered it about 50 years ago. God knew about it before creation. I'm going to just close it down because I just want to encourage you to press into the enormity of God and start to praise Him because He's bigger than my problem. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than my circumstances. He's bigger than your circumstances. There's nothing that you cannot throw at God that He can't handle. The idea is you let God have it and let God do it. Amen.